President Biden is meeting with six Dreamers in the Oval Office today. The young immigrants were brought to the U.S. illegally as children and allowed to stay and work under an Obama-era program known as DACA. The Biden administration wants to offer a permanent home to more than 2 million Dreamers living in the U.S. Reyna Montoya is one of them. She's a DACA recipient and founder of the immigrant advocacy group Aliento in Phoenix. This week, the organization marked a major victory for Dreamers in Arizona. Reyna, welcome back to the show.
Hi, good morning. It's good to hear you.
Good to hear you. And when you see today the President of the United States meeting with fellow Dreamers in the White House, what does that feel like?
It feels very surreal and exciting to see that the President of the United States is going to hear directly from Dreamers like me, who are currently under so much anxiety and uncertainty as the DACA program remains uncertain.
Well, the president is pushing his plan to extend citizenship to the 11 million undocumented immigrants who are living here and also offer a permanent solution for people like you, for Dreamers. Still, as you know, very unlikely to pass in Congress. So what path do you see to reach your goal, to end that anxiety that you're talking about?
I believe that the president has to work with Congress. There's no other way around it. The DREAM Act and a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers, there's an overwhelming majority of American voters that support us. So my hope is that as we are trying to tackle immigration, which is a very complex issue, that we can take the lessons from Arizona, just what happened this week, and see that when we tackle little piece by piece, when there's agreement, we can actually be victorious.
Okay, we're going to get to what happened in Arizona in just a minute, but let me follow up here. Does that mean you think Congress should take DACA or the DREAM Act as a standalone bill instead of trying to pass it as comprehensive immigration reform, which would be more difficult?
I believe it's the first step. I think that we have to definitely work in making sure that we are solving other issues like essential workers that are at the front lines of our recovery of COVID. But I think, why don't we get started with the things that there's already consensus around?
Okay. Well, as you said, there was headway this week in Arizona. The state legislature passed a bill that would allow voters to decide next year whether undocumented people could get in-state tuition at public universities and colleges. Let's talk about that. What would access to higher education mean?
It would mean that many students have the opportunity to remain in our home state of Arizona and being able to contribute and give back. It means that we finally get to fulfill the promise that we made to our parents for all their sacrifices.
As it is now, paying out-of-state tuition is a possibility, but what kind of limitations does that put on people?
There's 2,000 students that graduate our Arizona high schools every year, and I get to work with and mentor one of the students, Deya, who I've known since 2017, when she was being a full-time student, going to community college, had to reduce her classes to part-time because one credit class would cost her over $300 compared to a U.S. citizen who has in-state tuition at $85. We're talking about that is almost more than three times more than any other student that went through the same elementary, same high school, and they have a disparity in tuition cost.
Arizona is a state that has taken a hard line stance on immigration for decades, to say the least. But this measure passed a Republican-controlled state legislature. How did that happen?
It took years of building relationships across party lines and really educating elected officials about the barriers of and the inequities that Dreamers and undocumented students face when here in Arizona. So I think that it took a lot of education, but it also took a lot of savviness to ensure that Republicans and Democrats would come together to leave other differences aside, which is really difficult in a legislative cycle, and concentrate on good policy that would not only help Dreamers, but our state's economy.
You're right. I mean, it is very difficult understanding the history of this state, but you're not there yet. And there are headwinds. Arizona voters actually outlawed in-state tuition and other public benefits for people in the country illegally back in 2006, and it passed by 70%. Is it different this time around, do you think?
It's been more than 15 years since 2006. I was a junior in high school. I am 30 years old now, so I am very optimistic that Arizona voters have changed their minds and their hearts. And it's not only my opinion. Polling data backs this up, where we see an overwhelming majority of Arizona voters that were to be voting in 2020 that constantly support in-state tuition, regardless of party affiliation. We're seeing really high numbers within Republicans, independents, and Democrats.
But there are Republicans who say this would, in fact, attract more illegal immigration to the state. What do you say to that?
At the end of the day, it goes back to the data that we have. There's over 20 states, including Oklahoma, Utah, Texas, Colorado, California, that have passed similar policies around in-state tuition, and we don't see other states increasing any type of unauthorized migration. On the other hand, we see that the national trends state that we have a decrease on undocumented immigration, or that has stayed pretty stable and consistent.
Reyna Montoya, a DACA recipient and the founder of the immigrant advocacy group Aliento. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.